I have on my heart to share about restoration. Ruth chapter 1. In verse 1 we read, "Now it came to pass, in the days when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons." You know, when there was a famine in the land, it was because the Lord was not pleased with his people. There was something wrong going on with the people of God. And this man here, Elimelech, chose to take his family to the country of Moab. He was not a good leader. He should have humbled himself before the Lord and learned what the Lord had to say to him, to the people of God. Do you feel that there is a famine in your assembly? You know, a few years ago, after a Bible meeting, a reading meeting, I went to talk to some of the younger brothers at the back of the assembly. And I shared with them how good a meeting we had. And the first one said to me, "Tonight it was dry. There was nothing for us tonight. There's a famine here." I said, "Oh." I spoke to the other brother, and he said to me, "Oh, it was a delight tonight. The Lord spoke to me." So I went to the first one. I said, "So what are you enjoying in the Word of God these days? I don't have time to read these days. I have so much to do, you know." And you know, the famine was in his own soul. And he became critical of the meeting and the assembly. You know, sometimes we may think that there is a famine, but the famine is in our own hearts. But in that situation here, it was something that happened in the people of God. And as we said earlier, the man decided to go and in the country of Moab. He was not led of the Lord to do so. And I think that for the fathers here of family, we have responsibility in connection with our family, where we're leading them. You know, we read the scripture that the blessing of the Lord make it rich, and he has no sorrows with it. But there was sorrows in connection with the choice that this man made here. And we read toward the end of the chapter that his wife, after losing her husband and her two sons, came back to the country. Came back to Bethlehem, the house of bread. It's interesting that after experiencing the loss of her husband and her two children, that she heard in the land of Moab that the Lord had visited his people with bread. And I wonder, you know, how that she heard that. And I believe that, you know, brother was talking about some empty chairs. Don't we have some kind of a responsibility to reach out to those who have left? That they may hear where they are about the fact that the Lord has not changed. The Lord is gracious, desire to restore. It's interesting that Naomi came back, and we know with Ruth. And the first thing that Ruth would do when she comes back, she takes a very humble condition. She goes and gathers the pieces of wheat there. That was a portion of the poor. The way back is to come with humility to the Lord. It's interesting in chapter 2 of Ruth how that we find in the person of Boaz a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Beautiful to see that Boaz means that in him there is strength. And we find that in a humble condition, she would go and gather the wheat in the corner of the field. And then it just happened that that land belonged to Boaz. And Boaz noticed her. And he would reach out and talk to her. Interesting that in verse 8, we read of chapter 2, Boaz would say to her, "Go not to glean to another field, neither go from hence, but abide here, fast by my maiden." Ruth, she received direction from Boaz. In verse 9, we read, "Have I not charged a young man that they shall not touch thee?" There she received protection. At the end of verse 9, "And drink of that which the young man have drawn." Boaz provides refreshment. And in verse 13, then she said, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and thou hast spoken friendly unto my handmaid." There is comfort coming from Boaz. And then we read that she comes back home and with a good portion. But before that, in verse 14, we read that Boaz said unto her at mealtime, "Come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar." There was communion there. You know, recently I've been struck about a brother who has left the assembly 5 years ago. And we kept in touch, you know, through the years. And when I would try to reach his conscience once in a while, he always told me that it was time to end the conversation. But recently the Lord allowed some difficulties in his life. And he phoned me one day about the fact that he surrendered to the Lord, came back to the Lord in his life. And he traveled 1.5 hours to come to meeting. And somebody told him, "Well, why don't you find a church, you know, near where you live? I mean, don't travel that distance." He says, No. "I want to go and give thanks to the Lord. I want to go back to him." You know, what is attracting him to meeting is the Lord. He wants to be in fellowship. He wants to be thankful to the Lord. I just want to read a verse in Galatians chapter 1 in connection with that. Galatians chapter 1. As we know, in Corinth, they were wrong teaching there. They were trying to bring back the law. But the first thing that Paul would say to them was trying to read your conscience in verse 6. He said, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ, into another gospel." You know, they were removed from him. They have lost sight of the Lord Jesus. And now they were in a state of soul where they were ready to receive another gospel. A couple of weeks ago, a brother and a sister came to our house and they had some question. And they desired to leave the assembly. They came and they presented their case and gave the reason why they want to leave the assembly. And I thought about that verse. You know, if we lose sight of the Lord Jesus in the midst, we may very well find that going to another place might be more convenient. You know, I asked a question to a couple. I said, you know, if the Apostle Paul was to come here, it was on a Saturday that we met, like tomorrow morning, like on Sunday morning, what would he have to say to us? Would he have to say a different message than what we read here? They said, no. But when I read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, "I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that there be no division among you." Would Paul still mention that to the Christian? He will probably have to exhort many of us about living in a life more consistent toward him, yes. But publicly, he would have to say to us that division is not of the Lord. In the course of a conversation, the question of the veil came, you know, and the person said, "Well, you know, I can get along with the veil, or, you know, they don't wear a veil, don't mind. I asked a question. I said, what about the angels? Have they changed their culture since 2,000 years ago? You know, a sister wears a veil because of the angels. Because we read in Ephesians chapter 3 that God is teaching the principalities to the church. But what I'm trying to say is that if we lose sight of the Lord Jesus, we're on the way to compromise. I remember after the division of 91, I lost many of my friends in the assembly. They went to other places, to many different places. And what I found in many of these people is that it was one compromise after the other one. I still love these people. We're going to spend eternity together. But I cannot break bread with them on Sunday morning because of all these compromises. I have a burden on my heart because my youngest son has been very much influenced by other Christian groups about people who are trying to influence in many ways. And you know, we are being tested, each one of us. If we're just looking for activities or for a group of people, we may be deceived. But if we are seeking the Lord, we will be preserved. There is much today about the gospel. People, they want to go out for the gospel. But you know, God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. It is so important. The two of them go together. You know, as I share some time with the brother who came back recently, I was encouraged to hear from him his desire, his renewed desire now toward the Lord. He told me, you know, I'm so tired these days. He says, I'm getting up at 4:30 in the morning to spend time in the Word of God because I need it. I need the Lord in my life. On the other hand, when we met that couple, they are ready to compromise the Word of God just to accommodate them. You know, it's interesting in the at least in the Gospel of Mark, when the Lord speaks about the woman there who poured a perfume on the feet of the Lord. It is said that wheresoever the gospel will be preached, it will be told about that woman, about what she did. Now, why does it say that? You know, that woman, she poured a precious ointment on the Lord in appreciation for who he was. And some of the disciples would say, well, it's a waste. You know, we could have given that money to the poor. But the Lord took her defense. And the Lord said, where the gospel will be preached, we will speak about what that woman did. And you know, I believe the Father desires that the fruit of the gospel in our life would be that we would appreciate his Son. We would value him above all. Because a father finds all his delight in him. You know, as I said earlier, there are people who would like to try to accommodate themselves when they go on Sunday morning to worship. And I like a little illustration. Let's say a father invites his family, his children, for a meal on Saturday morning. And they all come. And then the meal is served at the table. And one of them takes his plate and goes to the basement. The other one goes in the living room. The other one takes his plate and goes to the patio. The father would say, hey, where are you going? Well, Dad, we appreciate Mom's food. It's delicious. Thank you so much for the invitation. But the father would say, hey, I want to commune with you. I would like to commune with you. I'm glad that you're taking my food, but I would like to have communion with you. And I believe that we rob God of joy in his glory when we just do our own way. Not giving God the glory by being gathered to the Lord's name. We're giving God the glory. As our brother was saying, if we look at the history of those who have been gathered to the Lord's name, we have to put our heads down. But he deserves the glory. So may the Lord give us to have a fresh vision of himself as the head of the church, as the one who deserves our praise, as we will do tomorrow morning if the Lord has not come. That we would do like Naomi, if we have failed, if we have missed the path, to come back with humility and to find in the Lord Jesus everything that we need. Direction, refreshments, guidance, communion. This only will keep us.